Lots for you to do today is what I'm guessing.
Yep. Always. Lots going on. Always lots of stuff to do.
Busy guy.
Yeah, busy guy.
Is that your nickname, busy guy?
It is now.
Worst nickname ever.
I can think of worse.
Hello and welcome to episode 336 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me as always is...
Adam. I'm still here. I'm not sure if I quit or if I didn't quit, but I'm here in Vancouver right now. I think there was a huge outpouring of emails and fan letters saying, you know, please don't quit, Adam. We love you, Adam.
I wouldn't say a huge outpouring, but a hashtag was created. Yeah.
What was the hashtag?
It was hashtag Adam Kofife. I don't know. It was pretty current. I don't really understand it. I think it's a meme. Became something like those little spinners, like the little fidget spinners that your kids must have.
Oh yeah, they each have one.
Do they really?
They played with for about 3 days. Sarah got like three of them for her birthday.
Uh huh.
So she gave one to Jack, and they played with them for, I don't know, 2 or 3 days, and now they sit on the table.
Now they have better things to do.
Yeah.
For them.
Yeah.
Hey Dad, where's the Rubik's Cube? I've moved on.
Exactly, but. I because of that huge outpouring of support, I've elected to just take it week by week.
Just delay it, right? Yeah. You're kind of an attention hog right now.
Right. Okay, sorry.
No, go ahead.
So photography.
Amazon. If you need more fidget spinners, I'm guessing they sell them on the Amazon.
They probably do.
Click through our site if you're gonna buy them for your kids.
Yeah.
Helps us keep the show going. You can find those links on our website, twohosers.com. That's what I'm getting at. What is going on, Adam?
Not much. Winding down the end of the school year, so that's why there's so much stuff going on for the busy guy.
Right. We're recording a couple days early because you have sports day coming up.
Oh yeah, and then
what about your kids? Do they have it too?
Yep, they have it too.
Oh good.
But and then there's field trips and stuff. So yeah, my schedule for the next couple of weeks is all over the map because of all the extracurriculars that are going on with the kids in school and stuff.
Right, as they wind it on down. Sports day would be fun if it was father son, mother daughter sports day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, head to head.
Yeah, I would be more so competitive with the other dads.
Oh okay. No, I want to take out the children.
Because you're an athletic dude.
Oh, crazy athletic.
Okay, well, yeah. Like there was a huge outpouring. Same thing. But you're an athletic dude. You can shoot under 120 on the golf course and.
Yeah, you know, is that the bar?
Well, if you're shooting from the tips and no mulligans, 120's pretty hard to shoot. Actually, I mean, I know 100 is kind of the benchmark for hackers like myself.
Yeah,
but you know, but if you play all the time, 90 is kind of that's what you can, you know, that's decent, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I have a couple of friends who are legit like eight or 10 handicaps.
Yeah,
those guys are good.
Yeah, they're better than me.
Mm-hmm. Boy, way better than me. I have a couple of friends who are completely illegitimate 8 or 10 handicaps.
Right.
That's a 9 mulligan day. A couple drops. Couple of pant leg kicks. Pant leg drops and some kicks onto the fairway. Anyways, point being, going head to head with some of the dads would be great.
Well, they kids against attending parents tug of war. So there's
but who's the anchor? You
the parents are all on one team.
Really?
I just slot in anywhere on the line. I don't take command and I don't demand to be the anchor. I just grab
never be the anchor.
Yeah, I just like to yank the kids over and then they fall down. That's fun.
good stuff. Interesting pod, more than anything. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe, right. I used to take photos, bringing it all the way back around to photography. I used to take photos of this event. Now, no longer. It's pointless. I've never used a photo of it other than I think I had a podcast challenge 1 year where it was like the kids in a sack doing like the sack jump. I kind of thought that was cute. But other than that, not something worthy of taking photos of. Plus, there's always a whole bunch of other kids in the background, and my policy is about not using or posting photos that have, you know, other kids in the background, so right. Especially from their school and whatnot. So I just prefer to leave the camera behind.
Okay, flash forward to the end of this week's episode. Based on what you just told me, you're going to have to come up with a photo challenge now.
Oh, because is it sports day?
It wasn't sports day. I'm going to tell you it was sports, just to throw one into your wheelhouse.
Oh, you know, we can still do that.
This was coming. I knew you had this coming, and so I thought, you know what? You've sort of been, you know, falling off the last couple of years, and so...
Keep the challenge. Keep whatever the challenge was, sports something, let's keep with it.
We call that the double lazy. A, you didn't want to come up with a new one, and B, it's you're already going to the thing.
No, I have good another idea. It won't be sports day, though.
So okay.
Yeah.
All right, good for you.
Okay.
We took the kids camping for 4 or 5 days over the weekend.
Okay.
That's what's going on with me.
Oh, I didn't ask, but sure.
Yeah. I know, but people want to know. There's a huge outpouring on Twitter just now.
Hashtag what did Al do?
Hashtag are you still on Twitter? Not really, but so took the kids. Well, we call it camping. I mean, it's camping in that. I sure it is. Why
you
go not? And
do you sleep in a tent?
No.
Okay, it's not camping. No.
Well, fine, if you want to call it that. I first of all, I've heard the term glamping, which I cannot stand.
Right.
It's not that. It's not one of those RVs that like you pull up and then, you know, the side slides out and that's where your living room is. We don't do that.
Okay.
We live with, like, our in-laws, my wife's folks have a very small, relatively small RV. It's a big van that essentially is designed to sleep three, but there's four of us, so we squeeze it in.
Yeah.
So we do that. So we did
but
that.
You drive that, or that gets pulled behind something?
It's a driver. It's a van.
Okay. Okay. So you just hop in that and you drive to the campsite.
Essentially, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So we do that. It's about 3 hours away. We went to a little place called Brombachsee, which is like Lake Brombach, which is in Bavaria.
Okay.
You've heard of Bavaria, I'm sure.
They make good cream.
That's what they say. Yeah.
They stuff donuts with it.
Yep.
Or eclairs.
Or eclairs, yeah. Anything else? Cream pies.
Other pastries.
Sure.
That's where all the best pastry cream comes from.
Well, in Germany, yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
So the second place, I mean, you can go to Black Forest. It's good, too. But regardless
good
of that,
ham. I enjoy their ham from the Black Forest.
In the Schwarzwald. Schwarzwald Schinken is very, very good.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Anyways, back on track, maybe. So we took the kids camping. And I honestly, it's not camping. I'm a snob. I'm a snob for camping because, you know, born and raised in British Columbia, and to me that is camping. Like even if it's not, like, you don't have to go the full Chris McCandless and go out in the wild, right?
Okay.
But there's something about camping. Like you've been to, let's say, Alice Lake.
Mm-hmm.
To me, like that is camping. You have a big spot to yourself. There's trees everywhere. There's a lake there, hence the name. And you know, you're not roughing it really. There's bathrooms and running water and whatnot. And I think there's electricity at some of the spots, although we don't ever use those.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Anyways.
Gotcha. I understand the concept.
Okay. Okay. So where we were, it's not really camping, but it's not really not camping. There's spots. It's a big field with trees and whatnot, but not like, you know, not like British Columbia. And this will be a short rant because a couple days ago I was ready to do a good 45 minutes on this, but I've calmed down since.
Okay.
So you've been camping.
Yes.
What is your policy on just randomly walking through other strangers' camping spots?
Try to avoid it.
Try? Just don't do it.
Yeah.
There's no try. You don't do it. I mean, even
well,
if
sometimes
people...
I guess the situation where you don't it's possible. I'm not going to say that I've done it, but I'm imagining a scenario, depending on how the layout works, where it's possible to cross somebody's sight line without intending to.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. You're not going to walk through the center of someone's sight, especially
just high five them on the way by.
No, that's not going to happen. Or just, you know, start roasting a marshmallow on their campfire.
Yeah, correct. That's just etiquette.
Right. Camping etiquette.
Not so much here in Germany.
Okay. There's a different set of rules. It's free reign. Well,
there are no rules. Evidently, it is free reign. You just walk where you want to walk. Like, we're just sitting in our campsite. People like people just walk like right through. Just sitting there, walk through, because they got to go use the bathroom or do some dishes or something, and it's like, yeah, I'm not walking. I'm not walking an extra 12 feet.
Interesting.
Just
going
to mow right through. Yeah, interesting. Also, so I basically would just start chirping these people. Hey, how you doing? Welcome. Come on through, you know, which they probably don't understand.
Right. Sarcasm.
Even though I do it in German, they don't, still don't. They don't understand the sarcasm. There's no rules for sarcasm, just campgrounds go nuts.
Interesting. Now you've camped before in Germany, right?
Not really. We've done it in France, Croatia, and Italy.
Okay, and they have different policies? They have walk-around policies in those countries?
Yeah, we didn't. We encountered a little bit of it in Italy, to be honest. So there's a little bit of the people rolling through our campsite. But we had a corner site, so I don't know if that's better or worse.
Mm. It happened less, though.
It definitely less on a percentage-wise, yeah. Yeah. So, and the people who were doing it in Italy, they're usually kids, like, you know, 15 and
right,
under.
Right.
And so, you know, all bets are off with kids because they're kind of dumb.
Yeah.
But for adults to do it and just be completely clueless. But that's not even the issue that at hand.
Okay.
So you've been camping.
Yes, we have established that.
I would say in a day, in a camping day, how much of that time is dedicated to watching television?
Zero.
Slightly higher here in Germany. These folks, now I have no clue what they're doing. I'm assuming they have TVs at home, judging by how out of shape they are.
Right.
And so they would show up, and we go like we're parked, you know, 50 meters from the lake.
Right.
Which is kind of the point for being there. Otherwise, we'd just be in a field in the middle of Baden-Württemberg. We wouldn't go all the way to Bavaria. And here in Germany, the license plates all start with the letter of the city you're from.
Okay.
So you know people aren't from Brombach, say.
Gotcha.
Gunzenhausen is the name of the... Which is kind of cool because their license plate starts with G-U-N. But anyways, I digress. So people have driven in to park by the lake and then do not go to the lake.
Right.
They're
gonna
roll
watch,
in.
Watch TV.
They roll in. They have the satellite dish that just tips up, and it's on the motor, so they can dial it in exactly wherever the satellite is orbiting, I suppose.
Sure.
And they then just sit either in their camper or basically in front of their camper, watching television, while surfing on their iPhones or devices.
Yeah.
And that's it. So we would get up and leave and go to the beach and come back, and they will have not moved.
Sounds like the ultimate drive-in movie situation.
I don't get it. I honestly,
why not be in nature and watch Let's Make a Deal or Price is Right?
Is Tatort better if you're amongst other people watching Tatort?
Sure.
No, it's not. It's not.
Oh, not the answer you were looking for.
I've never actually seen the episode of Ted Ord. It's Law and Order in Germany, but
okay.
So I was baffled, but my wife pointed it out. She said, "You because she watched the lady next to us who was doing this very thing just at like noon on a on a holiday day, watching TV while on her phone, didn't look up from either, reached over with her right hand and grabbed her pack of cigarettes." Brought the pack of cigarettes to her mouth without looking, swiped it across her face, and with her mouth extracted one cigarette and put it back down and then lit the cigarette.
That's a power move.
It's not so much a power move. It's definitely a move. But her point, my wife's point was, yeah, that's how you know you got to take a look in the mirror.
Yeah.
If that's your move. So, other than that,
Did you photograph it?
I didn't. I have a couple of shots actually of the area that I'll post. As okay. I forgot to share them with you just now.
Okay.
I took a couple of shots just to sort of illustrate the point of this. This is the vicinity. Like, it's a small little area. So, but this is the vicinity, and this is what people do. Also wear goofy T-shirts. I guess it's a thing, but like T-shirts that basically. Like, translated to English, I saw one lady wearing a shirt that said cooling beers, like the act of cooling beers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cooling beers is also cooking.
I don't understand.
Well, because she put beers in the fridge because she likes beer, that counts as cooking.
Gotcha.
Yeah. No, I know. I was hysterical. I asked her where she got it, or maybe I could just buy hers. Because this is delightful. Yeah, but that was just one of many. And everyone was wearing their goofy camp shirts. So I was like, listen, guys, I'm not being a snob. It's just that you guys are really – never mind. I don't even want to finish that sentence. I'm being a snob.
Okay.
Mm. Anyway, but the lake itself, we got out there. It was a good time. Went out there, went on a boat trip with the kids and did a bunch of stuff, swimming and bike riding. It's really, really a great spot. The everything's brand new. It's a man-made lake.
Right.
They dammed up a river and made this lake. And it reminded me, just being there, reminded me a lot of Okanagan Lake or Lake Okanagan.
Sure.
Except not at all.
Because, except way better.
Brombach, no way. Brombach, spelled S-E-E, is the word for lake in German. So Brombach, say, is approximately 9 square kilometers surface area.
Okay.
And Lake Okanagan is 348. So a little different.
No, yeah, not quite the same.
And... the deepest part, the very out in the middle, the very, very deepest part of Brombach, say, I think is 39 meters.
Mm, not super deep.
Lake Okanagan is, it's like 250 okay. meters deep. So, but Brombach, say, one less Ogopogo.
That you have to worry about.
Yeah, so that was nice. You know, but other than that, no, it was actually kind of, it's nice to be out there, nice out in nature. But again, you get spoiled living in British Columbia because of all the old growth forests and stuff like that. And so like there's trees here, but it's not the old growth Douglas firs that we're kind of used to, you know,
mm-hmm.
in British Columbia, which kind of makes for the experience. But we still had a great time, a lot of bike riding, more beer gardens here than there are in Okanagan Lake or Alice Lake. So... that's a plus.
Okay.
All right. Monthly photo challenge. Just some stuff to...
I don't remember what it was, so you better...
No. Well, this week, we're not doing it yet. It's summer is the challenge. This for June is summer.
Oh, I thought we gave up on the monthly challenge.
No. We're still doing it because it will... No, everybody else gave up on it.
Okay.
Yeah. We had some questions. We had some suggestions. We had one of our listeners. He basically emailed us and said, "Hey, I hashtagged it on Twitter, but you guys didn't seem to see it." And I said, "No, we don't really do the Twitter anymore. Not for a whole bunch of reasons, but and plus it wasn't unless you include us at Two Hosers." If you just hashtag it, we're just not going to see it.
Right.
So you have to do it on Instagram and hashtag it Two Hosers Monthly Challenge, and then we will see it. But we had some people basically making a suggestion on, hey, I don't want to do Instagram. How about a closed Facebook group? Because people don't want to do Instagram because it's public.
Gotcha.
But So is Facebook. Even though I know it's a closed group and therefore there's some sort of security thing, but it, come on, it's Facebook. I don't know. I'm not going to trust that it's that closed.
Right.
But that's not the issue. The issue is two things. Is one, we do not want to segment the monthly challenge and just have people, you know, submit it in many different avenues. You know, email, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Flickr, 500, whatever all the different avenues are. If we pick one, which we did, we are sure to alienate a group.
Right.
Some people don't want to use Instagram, and if we go to Facebook, some people won't want to do that. So whatever it is, you're going to find someone who doesn't want to participate. I understand that. But remember, this photo challenge is not for us. Like we already have our outlet. We like Adam and I, you know, we share ours via Dropbox. We talk about it on the show, sometimes too much. But including other people is we want this for you, the listener, not for our egos to say, oh, well, Adam a little bit with the ego. He got bruised last week, but
yeah.
But in all honesty, it's not for us. Like, we're going to keep doing our weekly challenges anyway, you know. But the idea is listener participation and listeners connecting between themselves.
Sure.
That's what we want to establish. And so if we segment that, first of all, it's way too much work for Adam and I, and by that I mean me. And you aren't going to connect with each other.
And the other thing is putting sort of like, you know, teaching into practice. That's kind of how we all learn, right? So, I mean, the biggest way that I've improved my photography over the years is basically by doing photo challenges and, mm-hmm. you know, using some of those ideas and tools that we talk about and trying them out. And so I think if you just listen week to week and you never, and I mean, you might do your own photography. I'm assuming everybody who's listening is doing some form of photography, but actually, you know, intentionally going out and trying to, you know, do one of these challenges really kind of maybe puts you outside of your comfort zone. And I think that's how you get better. So I think that the whole intention of it is to just everybody get better. And I think you really are missing out on an opportunity to not at least do a monthly challenge, a month to go out. I think everyone can find the time to make an effort to try it. And whether it turns out or not, you're still going to learn, right?
Correct. Correct. And so even if you want to shadow all the challenges and then not post them, that's fine. We encourage that. Like, there's a reason we do that. That we have the challenges. It is to get, you know, go out there and shoot something new every single week. And the other option was given to us was, hey, you know, you could create a closed a chat room bulletin board page kind of thing. I don't want to do that. That sounds like way too much work for me and for all of you. Don't you already have enough passwords?
Right.
You don't need another one because now that means some of you who don't have Instagram will have to sign up for Instagram and a new password. I understand. But the reason I like Instagram for this and not a closed Facebook group is that if you want to be on Facebook, my understanding, unless you really hack it and whatever, you have to be you. The idea is on Facebook is that you are you, right?
Sure.
So it's not really anonymous. So even if you want to join up and be somewhat, you know, anonymous, you can't. And so your submissions will be mixed in. Even though it's a private group, I understand. But versus Instagram, you don't have to be you. So if you're already on Instagram, you can just post as you, and you're posting as you anyway, you can go ahead. Obviously you don't care, so feel free to join in. If you aren't on Instagram, you can sign up, you know, you can sign up as Adam Schwartz if you want.
Sure. Or the real Adam Schwartz. That's what people do.
Oh, yes. And then you get verified. It's that simple. But you can sign up however you want, and you can only share challenge photos in that respect. So, again, maybe that's just too much personal information. You don't want that out there. Fine. I understand. But there's really very little other way around this. except for if the listeners do want a private Facebook group, I'm in for it. However, we are not doing that either. And no, I'm being serious. It sounds like I'm, you know, making a joke. And I'm not being passive aggressive either. If nobody wants to do it, that's fine. But if one of our listeners actually wants to go ahead and say, hey, Alan, Adam, I will handle this. I will create this group and moderate it or whatever. It probably takes very little care and watering. Then by all means, then we will endorse it. Sure. Only one of them. We don't want to have, again, we don't want 9 or 10 of them. Probably not going to be an issue. I'd be lucky to get one. But if someone wants to do it and basically start this up, then yes, we will then steer people in that direction, and we'll even sign up for it ourselves.
Sure.
All right. There you go. So with that, the monthly photo challenge is for June is summer.
Okay.
All right. Now, did you shoot anything interesting?
Not really.
Okay. I shot some lake stuff, of course, but I'll try to go through it quickly because we already talked lake stuff.
Okay. Tell me what you did that was interesting.
No. I was just thinking I brought a flash with me.
Okay.
Just for fun, because we weren't going in the tent, and we had room. We were going in the RV, so I said, I can throw a flash. So I basically took one of my old Nikon flashes that I bought, a used one that I had bought for, I think it was $29, like last year. I wasn't even in the market for another flash. I had enough. I had three. One on-camera flash and two off-camera Nikons.
Sure.
But then just happened to see it in the photo store, and it was $29. It was fully manual. Without reaching for it, I don't remember what the model name was, but it's got the PC sync. It's got all the things you need.
Sure.
For a flash, except it won't work on camera, but for strobist stuff, perfect. So $29, that's you can't beat that. So I threw that in the RV. Brought a, I knew, I kind of had an idea what I wanted to shoot, so I brought a half CTO with me. Didn't bring the whole filter pack, just with an elastic band, put a half CTO on the flash.
Yep.
And didn't even bring the wireless. I have a wired, like a cable that pops the flash, like a PC sync cable.
Yep.
Just brought that. Because it was only a couple of bucks, so it was really, really cheap. So I'm basically all in. My lighting setup for this was, you know, under 35 euros. Under 40, including the batteries.
Okay.
But I only brought one set, didn't bring a charger. I knew I wasn't going to make a weekend of this. I just thought I would like to get a nice sunset photo at the lake, with a nice lake in the background, sky lighting up, and then lighting, you know, my kids with this, you know, off-camera flash with the half CTO on it. That's what I had in mind.
Mm-hmm.
My kids did not have that in mind. They didn't care so much.
Right.
First off, if I wanted the lake in the background with the sun setting behind it, I needed to get to the other side of the lake. Mm. We were on the west side. And so what with the sun setting in the west, as it does, even here in Germany, I couldn't then get the lake in the background as well.
You needed sunrise.
And that wasn't going to happen. Come on.
Okay, all right.
Especially this time of year where it's really early. Like, we're almost at the earliest it's going to be.
Okay.
And so we weren't doing that. And the kids, there was no way the kids would cooperate then either. So at sunset, we basically had to get around to the other side of the lake, which you could do. It was a bike ride, but you could do it. But by that point, it's pretty late, and the kids are in bed. So, you know, that didn't happen. I wasn't able to get the shot I was looking for, but I did. One evening, the clouds rolled in. We had some kind of dramatic clouds at around, I don't know, like 6 o'clock in the evening, and it got dark enough that I could sort of kill the ambient light and shoot eastwards. And so we tried this shot, but again, my son wasn't really cooperating.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of like his pose. He's just really defiant. So here's the shot. You can see it's I'll post this on our website. Here's the shot of him just defying me to take his photo.
I like it. I especially like that he's wearing his Two Hosers photo show shirt.
Yeah, he loves that. Daddy made it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
But, and just the way he's turned and facing it, it really, like, the shirt pops, let's say that.
Yeah. yeah. And the windblown hair and the whole deal. As my buddy on the team, whenever he shows up to the park, hey, Ogie Oglethorpe's here. that's nice.
Yeah. No,
thanks, Alex.
I like it. And again, you know, it's very simple, right? And this is the kind of photo that, I mean, you're not going to do a million of these, but it really is different than what, you know, most people are going to get at the lake. So I think it's something that if someone has an off-camera flash that they're not too worried about and they didn't spend $600 on, taking it to the lake and trying something like this is a great idea. And like I said, one light setup.
Yeah. And then I didn't even bring a stand. Like my wife was holding this in her hand.
Yeah. No.
Camera right. We snapped three photos, including the test shot. And the skies opened up, so it was just a mad sprint to get undercover. So I didn't even get, you know, the exact photo I wanted, because it was right behind, like, and camera left is the wakeboard park. So they have like a pull, you know, the pulley system that runs back and forth.
Sure.
And basically pulls the guys, and so they have like a ramp I don't know, whatever the guys do on the wakeboarding. And so basically there's a guy working there who looked the part, like he had the long hair and the whatever. So I was actually going to go down and get a photo of him on the little dock. But then the skies just completely opened up and I said, "Yeah. Forget it."
Yeah.
Mout. But again, great setup, under $35. Highly recommend having this. Not even an umbrella, like this is just bare flash.
Yeah.
Well, see half a CTO, but besides that, just bare flash. And in this kind of situation, it can work. You can get some cool results.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Photo challenge.
Yep.
This week is water, because I knew I was going to the water.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I knew you could make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get to that, a couple other photos, sorry. This is just, I was going to post the one of my kids running on the beach.
Yeah, I have this same almost exact photo from Spanish Banks from, I think, last year or the year before, you know, a similar perspective. And I love getting if I can get my kids to cooperate, I love getting them to do a running on the beach photo. It's just good fun.
It is, and it's a good distraction to get them to actually cooperate.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no, this is, I highly recommend anybody with kids, or, you know, if you go to the beach and you've got nieces or nephews or grandkids, whatever your situation is, if you have kids under the age of 10, this is fun for them and this is fun for you. And the beauty of it is they'll probably enjoy it or argue over who won enough that you might get three or four runs at it. So,
well, we did. That's the key is because the first one, I had them pose by the lake just for a nice picture of the two of them just standing there.
Yeah.
Right. Very sunny day though, and my daughter knows the tricks now. She says, "Oh, Daddy, like I'm squinting too much. I'll close my eyes, and when you say go, I'll pop my eyes open for the shot."
Right.
So okay, great. And so my son does the same. You know, he's 3 years old, and he just kind of follows along. And so we did that. And then right after that, I said, "All right, let's do the running to the camera." And so for the first run, he just ran with his eyes closed the whole time. Yeah. So that. That ended up well, but we did it again. We ended up doing three or four runs because I basically taunt my kids, like, "Wow, you know, she's faster than you, buddy. You better get moving." And that's how I manipulate them.
Yes.
But this is a this was a great example of the save that we talked about probably a couple of years ago. How to save it in Lightroom, like in a tough lighting situation, how you bring up the shadows, bring down the highlights, and manage to get nice. Bright colors despite, you know, shooting at noon.
Right. Good.
Probably 2:00.
Yeah.
So, all right. Photo challenge was water.
Yes.
You want to go first or second?
I'll go first.
Good. It's been a lot of me so far. So let's have a look at yours. Shot on 1/10 of a second.
Nope.
No. No.
I think 2/1000th of a second, something like that, with high speed sync.
I was gonna ask, like, because these types of photos generally, like this was shot, looks like the crack of noon.
Yeah. Yeah, it was right midday sun. I think it was shot at about 12:30, 12:45, something like that. That's why you get some of the shadows under the eyes, which without the high speed sync would be much, much darker. And so I had two flashes. My Canon 430 EX flashes both will do high speed sync. So I used the Yongnuo triggers that are basically perfect for this situation to sort of do off camera high speed sync, and I stuck one on our SUV to camera right, and or no, sorry, I think one's camera left, and then my wife's hand holding one camera right, and just trying to balance out the light on him, and then basically just said, "Yep, fire the water gun towards me at the camera." So, like we talked about, I have no problem with putting, you know, my camera close to this water situation. So I had the, I think this is the 5D Classic with a 70-200 lens, because I really wanted to shoot it at 200 millimeters and just really wipe out the background, which is pretty much a nothing blob background.
This is right, the foreground too.
Yeah, which is right in front of my house. And then at the same time, it was sort of a happy accident in terms of how great the bokeh on the water turned out. Like, I didn't expect that to go the way it did, and that's really what I loved about the photo, is just what it did to the water droplets, and just really, really nice bokeh. And he only gave me about four cracks at this, because we were on our on our way out, so I was just happy in terms of the way the composition worked, with the water just kind of coming from beside his eye, and his eyes stay completely in the frame. If his eye goes behind some of this water, I wouldn't like it as much, but I really like it for what it did to the water droplets and the bokeh, and I just really liked the fact that a few of the photos, he has a really silly looking big giant grin on his face, or he's closing his eyes, he's screwing around. So this is one where it looks legit. It looks like this just happened mid-water fight, as opposed to something that's completely posed, which is what it was.
Right. Okay. Yeah. No, but yeah, I thought it was mid-water fight.
No, the water fight took place afterwards, as the promise for doing the photo was, I will engage in a full-fledged water fight with you if you give me one photo.
Nice.
So here we go. And I did it in black and white, because I think, I don't know, we've done a challenge where I've used him and shooting a water gun in the past, and I just thought, I want something different. Mm-hmm. And so I also really liked the fact that this was a high contrast situation with the darks in behind him. And so those are greens and bushes, and there's kind of a red roof in beside that, in terms of sort of making the water sort of the more of the subject matter, the black and white really helped me. Then I can play around with, you know, the whites and how bright I make those droplets and whatnot. So this is something that I mean it's actually fine in color, but I appreciated it more in black and white. So
I agree. These aren't the kind of things you'd normally associate with black and white, you know, summertime and the colors and whatnot. So yeah, to make it really pop like that, and his face really sticks out. Did you change the like the levels of the red and whatnot?
Yeah, all of it tinkered until I was kind of happy with it. So sliders up and down all the way through the color channels. Yeah,
yeah. No, that's one of the great things about shooting, especially shooting in RAW and then converting later on, is all the control you have over that.
Yeah,
like dialing in the white balance, like, because oftentimes I will really alter the white balance just to get it kind of close, and then go to the sliders.
Right. Yeah.
So that if you were to, you know, basically undo the black and white, the colors in the picture would be terrible.
Yes, agreed. I do the same thing, yeah.
Much like, actually, and this is how they used to shoot TV, like the Dick Van Dyke Show, for example.
Yeah.
It was a black and white show, but they would basically, if they were to shoot it in color, they would have to redress the entire set.
Right.
And the different colors, like they would wear, you know, like a red shirt with the green suit, just because it would pop on black and white, it would pop a certain way. But you would never shoot that in color.
Right. I agree. It's funny. And then when I flip back and forth between color, it is so far off. But it's because it kind of depends on what color is his shirt versus what color is the background versus what are the colors of, you know, the object they're holding. So you're right. You really don't have to worry about that. Once you go to black and white, you can kind of, you know, dial that. You know, color balance up and down to whatever makes sense to your eye.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there you go.
All right, so let's have a look at mine. Now, mine is the one of my son jumping in the water.
The one of your son jumping in the water. Okay, gotcha.
Jumping out.
That one says not posting.
Yeah, I'm not posting that because there's some creepy people. I really like this, but you know, like in the past, what we've dealt with all of a sudden you post a picture of a kid with his shirt off, specifically a boy for some reason, and the hits go way up.
Right.
And I like this photo. I like what's going on here. He's having a great time. This to me is probably the best water photo I took this weekend.
Okay.
But the weirdos are going to ruin it for everybody.
You know what's funny is that you should pull that photo. I think we used it in a photo challenge, maybe 2 years ago, something like that, where I took a photo of you popping out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
At Spanish Banks. And yep. The pose and everything is a pretty good match for a split screen.
Yep.
You might get a chuckle of at some point. So not,
from
not,
you. Again, not online, I won't.
No, but I think even your wife would appreciate it, sort of the father and son split screen popping out of the water like that.
I'm going to do it.
Yeah. You know the photo, right?
I do know the photo. I thought of that. Once I saw this, I thought of the photo you took of me doing the Rocky jump out of the water.
I think it would be quite awesome as a side-by-side. It's funny because, I mean, a lot of these things, like, you know, the way our kids do certain things really, it really mimics, you know, their parents. My wife says the same thing about, you know, how my son will sleep, like, in terms of his position. Like, he'll do the same thing with his arms and cross and one up and one out that that I do. And, again, these things are sort of completely unbeknownst to me, or certain mannerisms that our kids have. And so kind of this makes me think of that as like, all right, there's probably, I'm just envisioning what that photo was, but I think there's going to be a very, very close similarity.
It is pretty close. It is funny how much your kids have in common. Like my son, he also can't stand Dutch people. Weird.
That is weird. Yeah.
Yeah. Now before anyone writes a letter, I really can't stand Dutch people.
Okay. So if you're Dutch, probably don't bother sending the letter.
No. I think if you're Dutch, you get the joke. That's the irony of it.
So yeah. What photo are you posting for that? Because that's a good photo. I like that photo.
It is a good one. But and then I was torn. Just to make this as difficult as possible, I'm going to go with the double. Like I think it's a series. It's a series of two photos. Otherwise, it doesn't really work. Neither photo works by itself, but there is the double photo of him of my son submerging and then coming up for the camera.
Right.
I like both of those photos, but I don't, on their own, I don't know that they really make a lot of sense. So together, I think they're better.
Okay.
And so that's the one I'm going to go with.
What's your camera setup here? Because again, obviously, you're right in the water.
I'm in the water. Now, it's not very deep, as you can tell. Like, this area of the lake is really shallow. Like, I didn't walk out far enough to actually, you know, where my son couldn't touch. So, it's like a little cove kind of area. And in behind, you can see on the lower photo, you can see the pulley setup for the, what do you call it, the wakeboard park.
Yeah.
That's what that is. That little blue thing, the triangle, is that. So I don't know. It doesn't go very deep, but I am definitely. I'm a fair ways out. This is my 40D and the 30mm lens. That's all I took, besides the flash part. I took that one. Took your advice and just took one card only, like a high capacity card, 16 gig card, which on the 40D is plenty. You probably get 1,200 photos.
Okay.
Which I'm not going to do in 4 days. But I just took the one card, and I brought a spare battery, which I ended up, I think I needed, but not really. Probably could have got away with it.
Cool.
But didn't bring a charger. So, again, it's the it's my so-called disposable DSLR setup that I didn't mind taking out in the lake with me.
Great. No, again, it's fine. It's, you know, this is a moment, a snapshot in the water. It's the other photos much better.
Yeah, and then there's the other one I posted again of him more swimming, but you know, it's fine too, but it didn't blow my hair back. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I will post it.
To be honest, I would have been perfectly fine with the running on the beach as your water shot, just being that the whole background is the water, and that's kind of the photo that I like the best. So
I anticipated that, but I was like, you know, I thought of that, but I thought, shouldn't I be in the water? I didn't want to get off on a technicality.
Gotcha. Okay. So well, post them all.
I am posting those. All but one.
All but one, yeah.
And you know which one. All right, weirdos? Okay. Yeah, you're wrecking it for everybody. So, all right. This week's topic is going to be camping because I thought about it and I couldn't think of anything else. No, it's not. I thought about it. Like, how do you shoot camping? Camping is actually tough to shoot.
I go camping exactly once every 5 years. So
you should go more.
I'm not. We already have a scheduled weekend with friends this year, so we will be going camping at least once. Cultus Lake.
Cultus Lake, also good lake.
Yeah, so we have one camping weekend on our agenda this year, but it's been a number of years since our last camping venture. So I'm waiting for your tips.
Then.
Yeah, your tips and your advice. They'll be well used this year.
All right. Well, that's the thing is camping really is tough to shoot, you know, but you're going to bring a camera.
Sure.
You wouldn't go. I mean, and honestly, I'm guessing with you, you're probably going to bring your RX7.
Yeah.
That would be my guess. Yep. Even though you probably get a little bit more mileage out of the 5D Classic. But here's the thing is if you're doing camping right, you're just watching a lot of TV. You're not watching. Don't. Here's the thing is one of the things I really liked about our weekend this weekend was that I was 100% off the grid.
Right.
You know, like I'm in the Bourne Identity. I'm just off the grid. I hate that phrase.
That's me for sure. Doing any of this type of stuff. It's like I'm not a phone person. I'm not an iPad person anyways. But to what the nice thing about going and doing something like this is nobody else in my family is either.
Wonderful. And that's probably, you know, because of you and you know, the example you set. But so we don't have phones, but we brought my wife's iPod with we have a couple of like children's stories on there, like these audiobooks that we ended up not even playing. But basically, we could have just played the radio, like you sit around and play backgammon or whatever it is, and maybe play a little bit of radio. That's all we have. Like we didn't plug in. We went for the weekend. We didn't even plug the RV into the electricity. I mean, also you have to pay for that's extra. You have to pay for it, so we didn't pay for it. But we had no need,
right?
Which I kind of like. Like to me, that's kind of the great part of it. And so I'm suggesting to you, don't cave in. I know you won't, but don't cave into the I'll bring the iPad for the kids to, you know, get to sleep at night or whatever it is. That's a horrible idea.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it. But if you are doing camping right, you probably are sitting around a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the fun of it. It's the going out and doing activities and then relaxing and making your breakfast, lunch, dinner, whatever it is, and then kind of hanging out. Visually, that can be kind of boring.
Yes.
However, you can still get some nice shots. Let's figure that out. Now, for me, as is in most cases, when just taking photos, candids are my favorite.
Okay.
You know, but like you want the occasional posed photo, like, yeah, here's the three families that went camping, get a group shot. Everyone smile, boom, by the lake, we're done.
Yeah.
But generally after that, the people shots that people and myself generally like are, you know, of people having a good time. And when you go camping, that's kind of the point. Everybody is having a good time.
Right.
So it's a good opportunity to shoot some smiling faces and stuff like that. So first, what to bring when you go camping?
We're talking as far as photography equipment.
Yes.
Not like your general camping supplies.
Oh, just get one of those knives that Rambo had with a compass on the end. And then you're set.
Okay.
You can make a burlap ski jacket. It's fine. No, yeah, just in terms of what to bring camera-wise.
Okay, so I'm going to say for most people, if they have a beater camera, bring that.
Bring the beater camera. But the overall message is travel light.
Yeah.
Really, really light. Now, not just because, like for example, for you, going in a tent is very different because I've been in your tent. Mm-hmm. You weren't there.
Right.
But I've borrowed your tent, as I've shown in some of the – I mean, I'm going to post a dozen camping photos from the last couple camping trips in BC, just for an example, just to show.
I see my tent.
There's your tent. Now, your tent is a great tent, and it's a horrible tent. It is great in that in the time I just took me to say that sentence, you can set the whole thing up or take it down.
Right.
It is awesome. It is not exactly a survivalist tent. In terms of its ability to stave off moisture, it is lacking.
Okay.
And that's not even when it rains. I just mean when, like, generally when moisture is sort of wicked out of the air.
Yeah.
It's not 100% your tent's fault. It's the giant cotton blankets that we brought, probably an issue. Didn't bring any microfiber sleeping bags like we should have.
Sure.
But still, we were very grateful, and this is in no reflection of you and your generosity. So we like the tent.
Okay.
However, if you're in that tent, like we were this weekend in an RV, it's a little much different, but you're not going to want a whole lot of photo equipment kicking around.
Right.
You know, even if you keep it in the car, which is what you're likely to do, you don't want to have all that kicking around. You get dirt in it, whatever. So go really, really light. In the DSLR world, go with one body, one lens.
Okay.
Now, if you're shooting a full frame, bring a 50mm lens and be done with it.
Sure.
Don't bring multiple lenses. Don't bring a zoom lens. Mm-hmm. Do not bring a zoom lens. I can't state that enough.
Because of the weight? Or what if you're bringing like an 18 to 55?
Don't.
Okay. All right.
Don't do it. Because what you're going to end up doing is falling off your chair. Are you okay?
Am I?
Yeah, I don't know. I heard a loud.
Oh, I bumped the keyboard tray.
All right. What you're going to end up doing is around the campfire, there's going to be opportunity for some nice shots.
Okay.
It's going to be very, very dark.
Mm.
And so you're going to want to get, and the flash, your flash isn't going to help you. Your on-camera flash, and you're not going to bring an off-camera flash. You're just going to bring just your one body. So if it has an on-camera flash, it's not going to do anything for you in this situation because you're going to get wonderful, wonderful campfire light that's going to light up your subjects, but only at ISO 1600 or higher, at an f1.4, at 1/20th of a second.
Gotcha.
So if you bring the 18 to 55, you're looking at a minimum of an f4.
Yeah.
Or an f/5.6 at 50mm, forget it. You're not going to get any campfire pictures, and you'll kind of want those. So what you give up in the zoom, you will more than make up for in the wide aperture.
Gotcha.
And 50mm covers everything. I've traveled, like back when I would shoot film, I would go, you know, with just my 35mm, so full frame. But a 50mm prime, and that was that was for the whole couple weeks, you know. Traveled around Australia, that's what I shot.
Right.
Shot with. It's all you need. You'll get great photos. So, one body, one lens.
Okay.
Maybe one extra battery. Maybe. But really, why don't you pace yourself?
Sure. Or it depends on the camera too, right? Like that 5D classic, you know.
Probably is a bit of a pig.
Yeah, bring an extra battery if that's your camera.
Yeah, I would do that. I wouldn't bring a charger. I wouldn't waste my time.
Yeah, and if you get 4 or 5 hours of battery life, like any average camera now probably does that more, then you can leave the extra battery.
Exactly. So not going to hurt to have one battery in the glove compartment.
Sure.
But besides that, the reason that you do that is, like, first of all, you don't want to be, you know, if maybe you don't have electricity on site. So you're going to be that guy, you know, who I've seen people camping in Italy last year who were basically hanging around at the bathrooms while their phone charges.
Yeah.
Like that, what you doing? That's not, that doesn't look like fun at all.
Yeah, it's weird.
And so you're going to be the guy down there charging your camera batteries, you know, while you're shaving or whatever it is. Don't do it. Just pace yourself. And that when that means what that means is take fewer photos, which means you get to spend more time doing the fun activities associated with the outdoors.
Okay.
But here's the other part where is really an underreported battery killer and a fun killer. Okay. Is later in the evening sitting around going through your shots of the day.
Yeah.
You should be having fun. You should be making s'mores at the campfire instead of reviewing your work.
I agree.
And it kills your battery. So stop doing it. Just shoot it. Shoot it and forget it. Deal with it when you get home. You have an idea at the time. You're probably going to do a little bit of chimping while you're shooting to make sure that you're getting an image. That's good enough. Move on with your day.
Right.
And engage yourself. So, yeah, leave a external flash at home, even though I took mine. That was in an RV. It was slightly different. I probably wouldn't bother next time. The other thing that you should bring, 100%, absolutely, positively, bring a plastic Ziploc bag that your camera will fit into.
Okay.
Because you're going to be in a situation where there is moisture or maybe it rains, like not just moisture, but full-on rain. You want to be able to cover it. Don't bother bringing your whole camera bag and whatnot. I wouldn't. That just gets in the way. It takes up too much space. You'll be fine with a plastic Ziploc bag.
Okay.
Okay. Now, the good news, and as I mentioned earlier, one of the good things about being off the grid is that you're off the grid. You don't have to. Don't bring a laptop and upload your pictures. Some people, like earlier, I think I wouldn't have done it camping, but on some trips I would have brought my laptop and been inclined to upload that day's photos and then sort them while I'm, you know, still on vacation. Like, and I say to myself, well, maybe, you know, that's a half hour downtime anyway. Who cares?
Right.
Horrible error. Don't do it. Just stay offline. And what that means is you get to focus strictly on, like for me, I was focusing on two things, my kids and occasionally shooting photos of my kids.
Right.
It was mostly being engaged and enjoying what we were doing, which actually made for better photos because I now remember, I look at the photos, remember how much fun we had.
Good.
So that's how to get started. Now, how do you shoot? What do you shoot? What are you looking for?
Camping moments.
Definitely camping moments.
things that make you understand that you're camping.
Bears and trees.
Trees are good.
But here's the thing is embrace the nature that you're in.
Ooh, okay, I like that. That's a t-shirt slogan.
Cooling beer is also cooking.
Yeah. Yeah, still counts.
But I mean, it sounds wildly obvious that you should embrace the nature, but especially in British Columbia, you're going to be in a situation where you're unusually wide open. With besides the trees, I mean, with few distractions. Like if you're in a city, there's going to be ads or graffiti or people or whatever. Here, you have so many wide open areas that are not distracting. So include it. I don't shoot as close up as I normally would in general. I shoot a lot more wide shots with people in them.
Yeah, sure. I like that.
Remember to use the context, the trees, the lake, etc. It's really easy to mix people and landscapes into one shot, whereas before you think, oh, I'll just shoot landscapes only. Well, no, you can shoot both. That's kind of the – and that's what I end up going for.
Okay.
The other usual stuff is early morning, late evening, of course. You get that kind of cool light, especially when it comes through the tall trees. You get those nice shafts of light that come across diagonally.
Yeah.
Trees in the midday can work if you have like a pretty solid canopy like you do at, you know, in a provincial park in BC. It really kind of breaks up that light. If you can, you know, a lot of open shade. I particularly like the late evening campfire because you gotta get that blue hour going on mixed with the orange firelight, and at the right moment you get just a really nice mix, and it makes for great. A great setting.
Mm-hmm.
So look for that. Also look for interesting elements. For example, my favorite one is the backlit campfire smoke.
Ooh.
It's going to be everywhere.
Yeah.
Let me see one of the pictures I'm posting here. Is it not there? It's got to be there.
No, not on my list.
Yes, number six, camping number six.
Oh, I thought that was just the light coming through the...
Yeah, it punctuated by someone's campfire that has basically filled that area.
Okay.
And so that's you get a lot of that. And I have a number of photos like that. Like I don't go out of my way to shoot it, but I see it and think, all right, well, we're definitely going to include that. It really adds... It's a great element to really, really enhance your photos. So that's something to look for. Don't forget the action stuff, though. I mean, even if you're sitting around a lot, you're going to go on hikes and swims and whatnot. Make sure to shoot that stuff. So I have a few photos of that, like, for example, number 10.
Okay.
That's us. That's friends of ours. Well, you can see what's going on. She's jumping in the lake.
Sure.
You know, stuff like that. Be prepared for stuff like that. Or the one after, number 11, that's a hike we're all going on. So that's me and my daughter. But normally you'd shoot this shot really close up. We did not feel the need. I wanted to, as I said, embrace the nature and include a lot more context just to show how large and wide open it is there.
Sure.
So that's an example. And lastly, my last tip for camping is shoot the details. Like, aside from all the wide stuff, shoot the close-up, the little thing, the little things that will define the camping experience for you.
Okay.
And for me, one of the ones is picture number 4, is the Coleman stove.
Okay.
First of all, had that stove forever, since I was a kid. That was mine I had when my dad bought when I was a kid. And to me, that screams camping.
Yeah, we have this exact stove, in a much newer version of it. I think it's been used exactly 3 times, but otherwise it looks exactly the same. It's the same fold out box Coleman. Yeah.
Yeah. With the sort of the white lid.
Oh yeah.
And then the two green windscreens on either side that pop in. I mean, once you nail it, once you figure out how to do this Coleman, they're not going to do too much changing of it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I must have talked about this photo before, because there's the cast iron frying pan right there, a favorite.
Sure. Yeah.
Go with the cast iron. But see, to me, this photo might end up on my wall, actually.
Ooh, you're stretching it a little too far.
Nope, it means a lot to me. It's more of my wall. It's not going up on your wall. This reminds me of camping in British Columbia. So these kinds of things can really make it. So shoot the stove, shoot the tent. I got a picture of us, you know, my daughter in your tent.
Yeah.
Shoot the tent pegs if you want. The utensil. This one's kind of funny because I shoot the utensils you use, because that defines your camping experience to me.
Okay.
And one utensil in particular that screams camping to me.
Okay.
Can you guess it? We won't go too deep on this. I'll give it up to you if you can't get it.
Is it a marshmallow roasting stick?
No, because you can make those.
Okay. I give up.
It's the can opener.
Oh.
Because, and correct me if I'm wrong, the line of thinking for pretty much everybody is, you know, I go camping twice a year. I'm not going to spend a lot of money on a can opener, even though I open more cans now in this weekend than I do the rest of the year. A lot of canned food.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to buy the one at the dollar store because I don't need an expensive one. And they don't work. So you end up spending about 40 minutes trying to open a can of pork and beans.
Okay.
And just swearing that next time you're going to buy a good can opener.
So buy the good can opener.
Buy the good one, but if you have a cheap one, shoot it, because you'll get a laugh. In 10 years, you'll get a laugh over it, I promise you.
Okay.
So other stuff like that, the campsite sign, you know, stuff like that, that'll mean a lot to you if you had a good weekend.
Sure.
So that's it. So I'll post just a bunch of, I guess, 12 or so photos from camping so you can have an idea. My daughter's first campfire that we built, that's one of them there. The bear sign. I was a fan of that.
Yeah.
There was a bear. You don't run into that in Germany. There's no bears in the wild here.
Okay, so that sign's from Vancouver.
That's definitely from Alice Lake. A lot of black bears up at Alice Lake. So, other than that, the rest of them are pretty self-explanatory.
Okay, no, I like it.
So your takeaway is that you're going to shoot with your point and shoot.
Yeah, probably. I might. You never know. I might bring the 5D with the 50mm as suggested. That's a setup that I have no concerns about. And I, in the past, when I've gone camping, I mean, it's been a while, but I would have brought sort of the fancier camera. Mm-hmm. I do like the pack light version, and it does open up very wide, so I can shoot 1.8 at the wide end of the lens on the RX100. So I could shoot the evening. I mean, the images will be a little bit distorted shooting people at a campfire on that wide of an angle, but I would still be able to get half decent images. So a lot to think about.
The one downside with the 5D Classic, the one reason one failing it will have is when you are shooting campfire shots.
The ISO.
No, the ISO. Yeah, no, that's you're right. In that situation, the ISO 1600 isn't going to ruin your photo. Like, okay, it definitely is noisy. You can correct for some of that later, but the real issue will become that you don't have live view to focus.
Gotcha.
Because in those dark times, which sounds wildly foreboding, in those dark situations, getting accurate focus is very, very difficult.
And you know my solution with kids and camping, even though I haven't gone for such a long time, what I will do if I decide to bring that setup, glow sticks, glow necklaces, things that glow that I can throw on the kids. Number one, they love things that glow.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, they are magic for grabbing focus.
Yes, absolutely.
So there you go. There's my solution. They will be wearing glow sticks if I decide to bring the, or wearing glow necklaces if I decide to bring the 5D Classic.
Yeah. That is the route I would go, although you do lose the video option, but do you need video of campfires?
Yeah, and if I did bring the 5D Classic, I probably, based on the size of the RX100, that's probably coming anyways, and I could just do video with that anyway. So the RX100 is coming for sure, and then it's just a matter of, do I bother to bring the 5D Classic?
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
We'll find out.
Game time decision, yeah.
Yeah, we got a couple months to make decision.
Yeah, maybe a little bit more than a month.
Okay. So, you know, you and I will talk some more about this a couple times a day.
Okay.
Before then.
Okay.
So, all right. And that's camping.
Yay.
That's how you camp as a hoser.
That's how you do it.
All right. Photo challenge for next week is sports.
Yes.
Yeah,
not only sports day. I will not, I promise you, be shooting my photo at sports day.
I'm going to shoot Huey Lewis in the news.
Okay.
Okay, sports is for next week. The monthly challenge for June is summer, and you can hashtag that on Instagram, hashtag #2hosersmonthlychallenge, or on the Facebook that somebody creates and lets us know.
Sure.
So we'll find out about that. Meanwhile, websites. Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
You can find my stuff at AlanAtridge.com or the two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can find the links, the photos, and everything we just talked about. That's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.